A very good Thursday. Welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
With almond and pistachio harvest in full swing, this could be your last chance to get the navel orange worm control you need. Power up late season NOW control with the exceptional flexibility and performance of Spearlep. Spearlep's unique mode of action provides excellent NOW control, and because there's zero-day PHI and it's MRL exempt, you can safely return to the field within a few hours of spraying. Visit Vestaron.com to find your local sales representative or call your retailer to get more information.
The California Department of Food and Agriculture has released a report on below-ground biodiversity, which provides targeted recommendations for policymakers and stakeholders to enhance soil health and conserve biodiversity, which plays an important role in climate resilience and food production. An advisory committee of soil scientists authored the report. In 2020, Governor Newsom's executive order N8220 emphasized the significance of soils in hosting over a quarter of the world's biodiversity and called on CDFA to enhance soil health biodiversity. The report provides recommendations, including using soil biodiversity as a key metric for assessing and prioritizing soil health and multifunctionality, integrating a soil biodiversity assessment into CDFA's Healthy Soils Program, and developing an adaptive management framework that incorporates soil biodiversity assessment. CDFA will consider the recommendations in the report and share it with sister agencies, technical assistance providers, and researchers in pursuit of the enhancement of soil health and biodiversity, and to implement near and long-term actions to accelerate the natural removal of carbon and build climate resilience in agricultural soils. The report is available on the CDFA website. Following the weekend's tropical storm Hillary, growers and shippers were out early in the week assessing the situation on crops and plantings. At Fillmore, Pirro's Citrus, that had planned on finishing its lemon harvest earlier in the week, however, due to weather, it has now been postponed. There were periods of rain that were heavy and hard that followed the huge gusts of wind, according to Chris Diaz. Over in its Valencia orchard, some have rocky soils, and the weather will only delay the harvest in those areas by 1 or 2 days. Other orchards they were planning on harvesting this week are now being pushed back to next week due to those acres having more of a clay, sandy soil. That soil needs a couple of extra days to dry out from the rain, according to Diaz. As for road closures, they have been minimal in Ventura County. However, there are customers with trucks coming in from Los Angeles, Orange County, Riverside, and San Diego counties weekly. With a combination of those road closures and a shortened citrus supply this week, it will be a much slower packing week for them, according to Diaz. Then there has been harvest delays in the mix. Bikram Hundle of Custom Almonds LLC says the southern counties of Tulare and Kern saw 1 to 1.5 inches of rain. Lots of the almonds that were already shaken and were on the floor got rained on, he says. He's estimating at least 4 to 5 days delay in the harvest, or maybe more in some areas. The nuts are wet now, and that could create a bit more pressure on the few handlers who have commitments to ship. They will not be able to ship on time. And he notes that the harvest, which has just begun, was already late, and this will add to that delay. He says there also might be a chance of mold issues if the nuts are not dried out. The harvesters will be under a lot of pressure. In grapes, Ray England of DJ Forey says there was a great deal of rain, particularly in the mid to southern growing regions of the Central Valley. He says actual damage will be assessed as the week moves forward, while grower activities, for the most part, will be focused on the mitigation of the rain's impact versus harvesting. He says no doubt this will cause a gap in supply, and they'll know more towards the weekend. Delayed plantings are another aspect to stay mindful of post-Hillary, as Russ Weiderberg of Valley Produce points out that the Oxnard area received more than 3.5 inches of rainfall, a significant amount for this time of the year. Even though Oxnard isn't a main growing area at this time of the year, celery being planted for fall harvest could be pushed back, though not enough to really affect anything at the start of the harvest in November, according to Weiderberg. And in the Hermosillo area, Andy Martin of A&A Organic Farms notes that it will have a delay in its organic lemon harvest in a region following 2 inches of rain on Saturday and another 2 inches on Sunday. Hidden Oaks Vineyard in Clements was recently purchased for $3.2 million by Farm Together Incorporated, a crowdfunding investment platform. The 102-acre organic Cabernet Sauvignon Vineyard will continue its operations with the new owners overseeing the business management and production of the vineyard. The Land Advisors Organization's agriculture specialists Quinn McGroney and Jordan Kendall represented the seller Hidden Oaks Vineyard LLC in the transaction. The buyer Farm Together also obtained the property's 2023 crops and well water for future farming needs in a transaction. As the amount of farmland in the U.S. continues to shrink, the farming sector is seeing increased interest from institutional investors. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's most recent survey, there were 2 million U.S. farms in 2022, down from 2.20 million in 2007. Similarly, the acres of land and farms continue its downward trend, with 893 million acres in 2022, down from 915 million acres 10 years earlier. With the world's population growth increasing food demand, farmland is appealing to institutional investors and family offices seeking to diversify their portfolios. Farm Together is a farmland investment manager that leverages technology and data science to tap into farmland investment opportunities and to enrich a scalable pipeline of deals to meet its investors' evolving needs. It is made up of experts that have cross-industry experience from farmland investing to agriculture and technology.
Smart growers know sustainability means managing pests at the same time they manage other priorities in their fields, which is why smart growers know Certis Biologicals. For more than 20 years, Certis Biologicals has been the world's leader when it comes to biological pesticides, delivering proven solutions that keep operations sustainable and growing. Learn more at CertisBio.com.
The California Milk Advisory Board, in partnership with innovation advisory VentureFuel, have announced the eight finalists selected to participate in the fifth Real California Milk Accelerator Competition, the search to identify, curate, and accelerate the very best dairy-based products that introduce novel benefits and drive the use of California milk and dairy formulations. The largest global dairy accelerator, this year's open innovation theme attracted dozens of applicants from five countries, all with the goal of securing a spot as one of this year's participants in a three-month program that provides access to non-dilutive funding, mentors, investors, and buyers, and a California Milk Advisory Board specialized network of resources. The cohort represents themes of global flavors, functional benefits, and sustainability, from upcycling byproducts of dairy production to packaging from renewable sources, all made with at least 50% real dairy. The eight members of the 2023 Real California Milk Accelerator cohort and their products are Arbo's Queso Dip from Memphis, Tennessee, a gluten-free, keto-friendly queso-style cheese dip for retail. The Empanada Shop from Redondo Beach, California. The empanadas combine golden flaky crust, creamy melted cheese, and a fusion of Latin American tradition and Californian flavors for retail and food service. New Alchemy Distilling of El Dorado Hills, California, a distillery making spilt clarified milk punch cocktails and can made with natural ingredients, zero stabilizers, an upcycled way from cheese making. And Amazing Ice Creams of Stockton, California, creating Cookie Wild, which is cookie wafer ice cream bar novelties enrobed in chocolate to stay crunchy. Nourisha Yogurt of Los Angeles, a specialty probiotic dairy product designed to support gut health. Petit Pot of Emeryville, a French-style dairy dessert in paper-based cups made with less than 80% sustainable renewable fiber. Shakewell of Garden Grove, which is a fresh, high-protein drink made with five ingredients, including upcycled whey. And WonderCow Nutrition of Valencia, California, with an all-natural bovine colostrum powder supplement that promotes immunity, muscle recovery, and gut health. With Real Dairy's versatility of benefits and functionality, from nutrition and flavor to texture and chemical composition, this open approach encourages innovation across product categories, all leveraging the versatility of the California dairy ecosystem. These eight participants have access to a group stipend and a robust network of resources to refine and scale their product and businesses. They will also participate in the CMAB Venture Fund Mentorship Program, consisting of elite counsel from successful founders, investors, leading corporate executives, and experts across design, marketing, sales, manufacturing, distribution, farming, and processing industries. Past mentors have included venture capitalists, successful entrepreneurs, and executives from organizations like Unilever. The cohort will present their companies and products at a live pitch event on November 16th, where four of the eight participants will each receive $30,000 to grow and expand their product in California and gain access to an investor-buyer virtual roadshow. One participating company will unlock an additional $100,000 in grand prize money by establishing their presence in California and exhibiting the most promising growth within 12 months of the final competition. Total prize and program value is $500,000.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a Human Touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
It's going to soon be possible to detect infection in vineyards and other crops from the sky, thanks to new research out of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which examines Lodi, California Cabernet Sauvignon grapevines using spectroscopic imaging via airplane to detect grapevine leaf roll before symptoms visible to the human eye were apparent. More specifically, the Jet Propulsion Lab used NASA's Next Generation Airborne Visible and Infrared Imaging Spectrometer combined with machine learning for early detection in the vineyard, which would give growers a better indication of where to focus scouting efforts in blocks. The instrument's optical sensor, which records the interaction of sunlight with chemical bonds, has been used to measure and monitor hazards such as wildfires, oil spills, greenhouse gases, and air pollution associated with volcanic eruptions. Ryan Pavlik, a research technologist in the Jet Propulsion Lab, explained some of the science behind spectroscopy and how it was used in the vineyards the researchers tested.
And most people have in their pocket an iPhone or an Android phone, some kind of smartphone, right? And in it, you have a camera. That camera breaks light up into three channels, red, green, and blue, which then are combined back together to create the image that you see on the screen of your phone or on your TV or on your computer. What a spectrometer is doing in this case, we used one called AVRIS, the Advanced Visible Infrared Imaging Spectrometer. And it's breaking light up not into three channels, but into hundreds of channels. And not just in the visible light that we can see with our eyes, but also down into the ultraviolet and way into the infrared. And so for each one of those light levels, it's using the light that comes from the sun. It's reflected off of the surface of the earth, whether that's a grapevine or soil or rocks or snow or whatever it is. It's that goes back, it enters into the instrument, it gets broken up into all those colors. And for every one of those colors or parts of what's called the spectrum, we have an energy level or a reflectance. And what you get basically is a squiggly line when you connect all of those together. And it's the squiggles in those spectra that we're looking for, that there's information in them that contains information about whether or not this disease is present. And what makes it an imaging spectrometer is that we actually, inside of this airborne instrument, we have effectively 600 of them in a row. And as we're flying over, we collect, you know, a row of pixels, and then the airplane is moving forward. It collects another row and another row, and we make a map. And so we're able to make a map over fairly large areas. In this particular study, it was data collected over the Lodi region in California. And so that's the big advantage of technology, is being able to do this not just by going out with a handheld spectrometer and test one grapevine, but being able to map out large areas. And the direction that we're headed is being able to do this from space. So the vision that Katie Gold and I have is to be able to do this for space, not just for Lodi and not just for grapevine leaf roll virus, but to be able to do it for lots of different crops for growers all over the United States and all over the world.
In terms of efficacy, the researchers found that they were able to differentiate non-infected and infected vines both before and after they became symptomatic, with the best performing models achieving 87% accuracy. Successful early detection of grapevine leaf roll could help provide grape growers up to a year's warning to intervene. Of course, these numbers will vary when addressing other diseases and other crops, but the researchers said in general the study shows how emerging capabilities in air and space can support ground-based pathogen surveillance efforts.
Because we were on an airplane as a platform, we were able to fly quite low and collect pixels on the ground that were about 1 meter across, so roughly more than 3 feet across. As we go up to space, that's going to be 30 meters. So that's, 100 feet across. So that's still smaller than, a vineyard, right? And even smaller than most blocks within a vineyard. But it means that you're averaging together all of the vines that are in that roughly 100 foot by 100 foot, 30 meter pixel. And so we're still investigating, what does that mean? Like, what is the threshold of how many infected vines would you need to have in a 30 meter pixel in order for it to show up as infected? So that's, again, that's kind of the immediate next step that we're working on at the moment.
As for how the grower will be able to use the spectroscopic imaging tech themselves in the future, Pavlik said that is yet to be determined, but will likely be taken up by NASA and private industry. You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom. Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
Lawmakers yesterday introduced the Healthy Watersheds, Healthy Communities Act, led by Colorado Democrat Michael Bennett. A bipartisan group of senators introduced the bill that would improve the Natural Resources Conservation Service's Watershed and Flood Prevention Operations Program. The bipartisan legislation would streamline the planning and administration processes to enable more watershed-wide projects, shift decision-making to the local natural resources conservation staff, expand program eligibility, and allow federal funding to count towards state and local match requirements. The bill also prioritizes projects with multiple conservation and public benefits and makes drought resilience an explicit purpose of the program. With more frequent and severe drought and flooding, farmers and ranchers are using the program to mitigate the effects of these natural disasters through watershed improvement projects. However, the lawmakers say as demand for this program grows, inadequate funding and burdensome red tape keeps applicants from accessing its full benefits. USDA Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack has announced nearly $700 million in grants and loans as part of USDA's ReConnect program. The funding will connect thousands of rural residents, farmers, and business owners in 22 states to reliable, affordable, high-speed internet. A full list of funded projects is available on USDA's Rural Development website. USDA recently looked at projected production numbers for various fruits this year, ranging from apples and pears to peaches and grapes. USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
August is when USDA and its National Agricultural Statistics Service takes a first look at most fall harvested fruit crops and their projected production for the season. What do the numbers indicate for the 2023 crops? Lance Honig of USDA NAS starts with apples.
9.9 billion pounds, that's up 1.5% from what was produced last year. Washington's up 9%. New York's down 19%. Michigan's down 15%. So the tale of two sides of the country. But Washington, largest producer, pushing us overall above last year.
Cranberry production, meanwhile, is down over 5% from the previous year.
Our friends in Wisconsin looking at their fifth lowest production on record, and we're also down in Massachusetts this year.
Those states and their cranberry crops impacted by early season freezes and snows, as well as frost and hail during the growing season. Turning to grapes.
Up 6.1% year over year. That's actually our first year-to-year increase since 2018.
With California-wide grape production up 12% year over year. Meanwhile, for this year's Golden State peach crop,
California, a little too much rainfall, believe it or not. Cooler than normal temperatures, that's not great for the crop.
Leading to a 7% reduction in total peach production, while in the southeast,
both South Carolina and Georgia dealt with some freeze situations,
resulting in production reductions of 66% in South Carolina and 78% in Georgia. The result for U.S. peach production this year?
Peach production expected to be off 13.2%. That's the lowest production in more than 15 years.
Finally, pear production forecasts for 2023 indicate a total of
645,000 tons. That is up just slightly from last season, but it would still be the second lowest production since 2007.
California is expected to have its highest producing pear crop since 2017. However, the nation's two largest pear-growing states, Washington and Oregon, are expecting later than normal harvest due to various weather and disease conditions during the growing season. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
All sites continue to fight in an ongoing renewable fuel standard lawsuit that could require the Environmental Protection Agency to make changes to its 2020 to 2022 finalized rule. Back in 2022, Growth Energy struck a settlement with EPA to require the agency to finalize RFS volumes for 2021 and 2022 by June 3rd of 2022. In addition, the EPA finalized a proposal to reset already finalized RFS volumes for 2020. Once RFS volumes were finalized, a number of refining companies and biofuel interests filed lawsuits against the agency on a number of fronts. As is the case with nearly every RFS rule EPA has finalized in a more than 15-year history of the program, the legal questions raised in various recent lawsuits are numerous, multifaceted, and complicated. A group of petroleum refining companies alleged in a complaint filed in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit that the EPA acted arbitrarily and capriciously in setting what they called an unprecedentedly high 2022 standard. In the RFS proposal, at the time the EPA used projections of how much biofuel volumes would likely be exempted from the RFS, the refiners in their court brief say that's illegal. In addition, refiners challenged whether the agency acted unlawfully when it reinstated 250 million gallons illegally waived previously in the 2022 volumes. A court found EPA illegally waived 500 million gallons in 2016. EPA's 2022 standard reallocation rule and a supplemental standard are unlawful, according to the refiners in their original complaint. This court should vacate the 2022 standard and remand with instructions to set standards reflecting actual consumption, vacate EPA's reallocation formula, and vacate the supplemental standard, again, according to the complaint.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.